Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm nearing the end of the teaching that I've been doing for 4 weeks that I've entitled, As I Have Loved You. And this is based on Jesus' statement to His disciples the night before His crucifixion, John 13:34. And He said, A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And I have a brand new teaching out on this. This is a CD album that was taken from a Gospel Truth seminar that I did in Houston, Texas, where I taught on this. And then we have a DVD album that was taken from these television broadcasts. There's a little bit of difference between these two. I don't ever teach anything exactly the same way. But Friday is going to be my last day to make this new teaching available. We're now dealing with the fifth and final teaching in this series, and I really encourage you to get this. I think that this was powerful the way it came out, and I just was sharing about the love of God. And basically, I've been using this series to emphasize that, you know, most of the time, Christianity will emphasize how we're supposed to love others, and there's certainly a place for that, and I do that myself. But this whole series has been about how God has loved us. We can't love others until we, first of all, receive God's kind of love for us. And religion has given us a wrong impression of God's love. It's taught us that it's very conditional, that it's very performance-based, that when we do well, God loves us. When we do bad, God's angry. He punishes us. He rejects us. He withdraws from us. It's all based on performance, and that is not the representation that Jesus gave. So I've been teaching on this. I've used personal examples, how Jesus treated Judas, how Jesus treated the woman at the well, how Jesus treated the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. And you can see by that that God did not impute these people's sins unto them. Even the very person that was going to betray Jesus, the night that it happened, Jesus washed his feet and humbled himself and showed love to Judas. I tell you how we can take that and miss this obvious truth that God's love for us is not based on some worth or value or goodness on our part. It is unconditional. It's grace. And I know how people miss this is because they see the wrath and the punishment of the Old Testament, but what they're missing is that God placed all of the wrath that was so prominent in the Old Testament and came upon individuals in the New Testament, God placed all of that wrath upon Jesus. And now a holy, righteous God can be just in giving us mercy because the price has already been paid. And people just haven't put these things together, and they are still using the old covenant revelation of the wrath of God against sin, and they're missing the fact that Jesus bore that wrath, and today God is not imputing man's trespasses unto them. That's exactly what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. On our program yesterday, hopefully you've understood and you've heard these things and you are beginning to understand that God's love for us is greater than what any of us have really experienced and that we need a greater revelation. How do you get there? How do you experience this love of God? And yesterday I took a prayer from Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul was praying that we would be rooted and grounded in love and able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God. And basically, I was teaching from these scriptures that if we just take these truths, the Word of God, sow it in our heart, that the Word of God is like a seed. When you put it in your heart, that's like putting a seed in the ground. It begins to grow, and this comprehension of the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of the love of God comes from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit quickens it to you, and it just has to come by revelation. And this is what Paul is praying. And so when you see a prayer like this, all you've got to do is just put your name in there. And instead of saying, I pray that that you would be able to comprehend. Instead of saying that, say, Father, I pray that I, Andrew, help me to comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, the depth. See, instead of just reading this about what Paul prayed for somebody else, make it personal. Put your name in there and pray this. And I tell you, God wants to show you His love more than you want to experience it. I really believe that. All we've got to do is just cooperate with Him. And one of the ways you cooperate is to take this prayer, pray it. Jesus said that the traditions and doctrines of man make the word of none effect. And our religious traditions have gutted the Word of God of its real power. It negates the power of the Word. And so that's the reason that I've countered so many things. I've talked about religion and how it's given us a wrong impression of the love of God. It's not been accurate according to Scripture. And you're going to have to take the Word and you're going to have to compare that with religious tradition. And I don't care how many times you've heard something or how many generations your family has gone to some church and believed this way, you are going to have to let what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. You're going to have to let God's Word dominate. And if you do that, it will come by revelation. God will give you this revelation. I can't argue you into this. You know, that's amazing. I could take something like the healing power of God. And there are people who believe that God doesn't heal today. There are some people who believe that it passed away with the apostles. And there's people that will even say that if a person claims to be healed supernaturally by God, that that's of the devil. And yet, if they say that they believe in the Word of God, I can take them to the Word. I can show them Scripture. I can answer this religious doctrine that says these things passed away with the apostles. And I can argue a person into a place of acknowledging that, well, yes, I see that healing is for us. Now, they still may not believe it. They may not pursue it. They may not embrace it. But they will say that, yes, I see it. I can do the same thing with finances. There are people today that teach that, you know, God doesn't have anything to do with your finances. That's a carnal thing, and that you have a spiritual life and a carnal life, and there's people that are against that. I can, if they say that they believe the Word of God, I can turn you to Scriptures, and I can take you through, and I can make you see that God wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, again, they may not embrace it. They may not go forward with that, but I could argue them into seeing my point. But you know, when it comes to talking about the love of God being separate from our performance, I have talked to people, I have taken Scriptures, and I don't know how to describe it other than it just can't come by any other way except revelation. I can't explain this adequately enough to argue a person into it. A person who chooses to believe that God is harsh and imputing sin unto people, and that they believe that's the way He is, that God is the one that's judging people, God is the one that judges nations and is causing these things. If a person chooses to believe that, I cannot argue them into a position where they acknowledge that God is a God of mercy and grace. It has to come by revelation. And so this is why this prayer is so important. You just pray this, believing that God wants you to understand His unconditional love towards you. And if you would pray this and put your name in there, then God wants to reveal it to you. And if you really pray this and mean it with your heart, I believe it'll come to pass. So here's the way that you ought to take this passage of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 14, it says, "For this cause I would say this, for this cause I, Andrew, bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He, God the Father, would grant me, Andrew, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart, Andrew's heart, by faith, that I, Andrew, being rooted and grounded in love, that I will be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height." See, you pray this prayer that way, and if you mean that, then I can guarantee you that the Holy Spirit will start moving to give you this revelation, and it just has to come by revelation. You will experience the love of God, which will be much, much better than any teaching that I could ever do on this. And look at this verse in verse 19. This is very important. It says, after you comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height, in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, when you first read that, it looks nearly contradictory. It says that you might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. If it passes knowledge, then how can you know it? This is because it's talking about two different kinds of knowledge. It's saying that you would experience the love of Christ. That's the way that this first know is used. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew his wife Eve and that she conceived and had a child. And so this isn't talking about intellectual knowledge. When it says that he knew his wife, it's talking about he had a relationship with her, a physical relationship, and it produced a child. So the Bible uses the term know to talk about intimacy and experiential knowledge. So this is what this is talking about, that you would know, that you would experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which passes just mere intellectual knowledge, just saying that, oh yes, God loves me. It's one thing to have heard that and to say it. It's another thing to experience it. So this is talking about that you would experience the love of Christ, which passes just knowing about it, and then that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When you experience God's love, when it becomes more than academic to you, but it becomes a revelation, then you will be filled with all of the fullness of God. Boy, what a powerful statement that is. Let's look at the end of this verse that promises you'll be filled with all the fullness of God, and let's go backwards from there. And I can say this, that if you are not filled with all the fullness of God, if you aren't just overjoyed, if you don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory, if you don't have faith, if you don't have victory, and on you could go just describing what the fullness of God is. If you don't have the fullness of God in you, then backtracking in this verse, it's because you haven't experienced the love of Christ, which is greater than just mere intellectual knowledge about this. And I'm saying this in love to people all over the world. We've got half of the world's population is able to watch this program right now. And I'm saying this in love, but there are many of you who have heard about God's love and you've embraced it. And many of you may actually be born again. If you were to die right now, you would go into the presence of God. But you are still living your life without experiencing an unconditional love of God. I've already given testimony on this program that I got born again when I was 8 years old. It was genuine. I was made fun of the very next day for being a Christian. There was a change that took place in me. If I would have died, I believe I would have gone directly to be with the Lord. But it was 10 years later when I was 18 that I really began to experience God's love. There's a big difference between accepting salvation and receiving it and then experiencing the love of God. In my life, it was separated by 10 years. And when I begin to experience the love of God, you talk about this prayer that Paul prayed. He says, when you comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, then you will be filled with all of the fullness of God. Man, this came to pass in my life. I mean, immediately I was filled with God. Now, I'm not saying that I was perfect. I'm not saying that I did everything right. I'm not saying that I ceased to have problems and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, there was a huge difference. I remember I was still in the Baptist church. I was 18 years old when I had this experience with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968. It was on a Saturday night in a prayer meeting. We usually prayed from about 10 to 11. This went from about 10 till 12 or 1 o'clock. And I mean, we were all just caught up in the presence of God. And I remember the next day standing up in front of my Baptist church, and I didn't know what had happened to me. I just knew that I encountered God. And I knew that God loved me, and I knew that His love for me was completely independent of any goodness on my part. He loved me because He was love and not because I was lovely. And that became a revelation. And I remember I just had to tell somebody, and I got up in front of my church the next day and I asked if I could give a testimony. And I told the people, I said, I don't know what happened. I don't know what to tell you, but I am full of God. And I said, I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, if I'd have told them that I committed adultery, they would have been nicer to me because I could have been forgiven for committing adultery. But man, when I said that I am full of God and I am full of the Holy Spirit, I had people, the pastor of the church and others, jump on me like a chicken on a June bug and start telling me that, how dare you say that? The Apostle Paul was full of the Holy Spirit. Are you putting yourself in the same category as the Apostle Paul? And I started being criticized and people came out against me. But I'm just telling you that I didn't know how to describe what happened. But when I experienced the love of God, which passed just mere intellectual knowledge about it, that is exactly the words that I used to describe what happened to me. And I'd probably read this verse, but I hadn't thought about it since I had that experience. It was not because I was primed or conditioned by Scripture to use that terminology. I was just talking about what happened. I was just full of God. I was full of the love of God. It changed my life. And I'm telling you that this is what will happen to you. It doesn't have to be a earth-shattering encounter where you just, you know, hear an audible voice and the angels singing and goosebumps up and down your spine. But I am saying there needs to be an experiential knowledge of the love of God, not just mere intellectual knowledge. And once you receive that, you will be filled with the fullness of God. And I can promise you, by my own personal testimony, by these passages of Scripture, by many examples in the Word of God, that when this happens to you and you really experience God's love, not just hear about it, but experience, it will change the way you deal with other people. And you know, I've seen people go out before and witness and try and lead other people to the Lord. And the way they do it basically is condemn them. God's mad at you. God is angry. God is bringing judgment on you. And I can tell you, I used to do stuff like that before I experienced this love. I believed God loved me, but before I had this experience and experientially knew the love of God, I used to try and condemn people into making a commitment to the Lord. But once I experienced the love of God, I guarantee you, I changed my approach. It wasn't just all automatic because there is a growth process. You will be as you think in your mind, and my mind wasn't instantly changed, but my heart was instantly changed, and I started loving people. I started telling people about the goodness of God. I mean, when I experienced love, then I was able to give it. And see, the reason I'm bringing all of this out is going back to the original verse that I've used throughout this whole series, John 13:34. Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. The reason we aren't loving others is because we haven't really understood and received and had this experiential knowledge of God's love towards us. We will use that terminology and say, oh yes, God loves you. But then religion comes along and says, oh yeah, God loves you, and that's the reason that your dad died. That's the reason that this child was born with this deformity. That's the reason that you have cancer is because God's punishing you. You hadn't studied the Word enough. And when you say things like that, Mark 7:13, religious traditions and doctrines of men make the Word of none effect. It just guts this truth that God's love for us is not based on our performance. And it teaches us a performance-based relationship. And I tell you, you've got to renew your mind from that. You've got to change. If you've been receiving what I'm saying, if you're going to pray this prayer, and if you want to experience God's kind of love, I'm just telling you that it will ruin you. It really will. I've had lots of people respond to my television program and write in, I mean by the hundreds, by the thousands, and say, I'm ruined. how do I ever go back to these places of saying that God is angry and God's upset? Once you experience the love of God, this is going to cost you something. It may cost you some of your churches that you go to. Now, I'm not against church. I am for the local church. But I'm saying that there are a lot of religious churches that are actually doing more damage than they are good. There are good churches, but there's bad churches. And I'm saying that some of you are in churches that are not ministering the true Word of God. They're teaching a performance-based relationship with God. And if you experience the love of God and start really loving people, you're going to be criticized. Just like I testified that I had this experience, I stood up in front of my Baptist church and I said, man, I'm full of God. God has just filled my life. And immediately these people begin to say, that's of the devil. How dare you say that you're full of God? God would never fill you. This was reserved for the apostles, for somebody else, somebody who's holy, not you. And I began to be criticized. And did you know I actually had some of the leadership of that church come and threaten to vote me out of the church. They were going to bring it before the church and vote me out. And anyway, it didn't happen, but that's the threat. I began to start being criticized, and I eventually got pushed out of that church. They didn't want me. Just about the time I got full of God and actually got to where I had something good to say, they didn't want me in that church anymore. And they kicked me out. I've been kicked out of a couple of churches. And so I'm saying that if you receive this, it's going to cost you something. Those that are hanging on to the traditions and doctrines of man and still see God as an angry God and are preaching the wrath of God, that God's going to judge America, and if God doesn't judge America, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. The people that preach that will not like you being filled with the love of God. They won't like it. They will come out against you. And you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to hold to the traditions and doctrines of man that make the Word of God, the truth of His love, of none effect in your life? Or are you going to let God be true and every man a liar? And you know what? There's a lot of people. There's probably people watching this program right now that God has touched you. He has started a good thing on the inside of you, and yet you just aren't willing to sit there and take the criticism, being ostracized, being kicked out of a church, being rejected, people calling you fanatic or whatever, and because of it, if you hold on and if you want to please man and if acceptance with people is more important to you than acceptance with God, you'll lose this truth. But I am encouraging you that if you would just pray this prayer, believe this, come to a place where you experience the love of God, and then if you would allow that, regardless of what the consequences are, then you will be filled with the fullness of God. God wants to give this to you more than you want to receive it. So I want to encourage you to open up your heart. Pray this prayer. Expect for God to reveal His love to you. It comes by revelation, and if you can believe for it, God will do it. I believe that. I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this on our program tomorrow. Let me remind you that Friday is going to be our last day to teach on this series, As I Have Loved You. And so I encourage you to listen to our announcer. Please call or write, and please get these materials that we're offering. It will help you. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
You felt so desperate. So desperate. And one night, I'll never forget, I was crying, and I actually went over to the field next to us, and I sat on the stump, and the trees looked really high to me. But I remember thinking, I had the rope with me, and I was just bawling. I said, Lord, I can't deal with this anymore. And if I do this, I won't ever see you. And I said, I have to see this. My name is Caroline. I was born and raised in a former church. It was very cultish, very legalistic. A lot of rules and regulations. I never questioned anything that we were taught and raised. The head of the church would say that we had to take everything that God was speaking to them only. And a woman especially was not allowed to question anything. But I heard God,
You just despair of ever having God really move and manifest in your life because you feel that you've got to do everything just right. You have to start recognizing that everything you need and want
comes through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not based on your own merit.
God, through His grace and power and the blood of Jesus, has made me a new person from the inside out. Now it's all about grace. It's all about love. And it's not about rules. God loves you unconditionally.
God loves you unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, As I Have Loved You, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is titled, How Can I Know? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Financial Stewardship for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. A Spanish version is also available. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website. While there, you can discover more product details and download free additional resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the New England area for a Gospel Truth seminar July 26th through the 28th, in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar August 16th through the 18th, and in Chicago at New Life Covenant Church Sunday, August 19th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 9th through the 14th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 15th and 16th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 1st through the 5th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.